This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
A lot of pressure. You got to rise above it. You got to harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness energy, block bad. Feel the flow, happy. Feel it. It's circular. It's like a carousel.
Time for the whole show pressure cooker. And Michael, we don't have Nuggets and Avs and in action until tomorrow night. It's got to go back to the Rockies, man. That's where we're going to go. And I'm going to go with Ryan Feltner tonight, who's pitching. I don't know how long he'll pitch, whether he has a great start or not. This is a guy that was pretty, he had his moments in 2024. But in 2025, he only made six starts last year. 30 starts the year before that. He battled injuries. So I'm going to say Ryan Feltner and the injury situation is somewhat under the pressure cooker as we start out and we get a chance to see what he's all about in 2026, Michael, going up against Max Scherzer. Should be an interesting battle, a very interesting battle tonight for the Rockies. They can win this game tonight, Mike. They win the series just like that against the Toronto Blue Jays, a team they had no business even thinking about winning the series in. They could do it tonight. How about that?
But they won't. They're going to lose 9-5.
There you go. If you have the reverse jinx again, then you know what you must do. You know what your journey must be for the rest of the season.
Well, I'd be the one giving you the haircut.
Until I get annoyed of it, which, based on your track record, that could be tomorrow. Who's in the pressure cooker, Mike?
The entire Colorado Rockies starting lineup. Because okay. You have to help me out with this. Like, okay. I want to continue this going. So if you don't make this happen, you don't make this 9-5 reverse jinx happen, damn it.
I thought you were, like, talking to me. If I was going to have to make this happen.
No, if the Rockies starting lineup and the relief pitchers don't make this happen, then I'm going to be very upset with them. Because I want to continue this.
I have no feeling about tonight. Had a weird feeling about last night. No feeling about tonight. They get going at 5:07. And we'll see. Go Ryan Feltner.
And you can hear that right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 on 1310 KFK.
We got Rockies, we got Avalanche, we got Nuggets. It's awesome. It's so cool having all these teams rolling. And if the Rockies can actually be okay this year, it'll be nice to have Rockies baseball. It's always nice to have Rockies baseball. It's good to have baseball. I love having our high school baseball stuff on KFK. It's just a great time for it. But we're also in the midst of playoffs for coming up. We're not in the midst of it yet, but we're getting there for the Denver Nuggets and the Colorado Avalanche. And Sean Keeler's asking the question, is Jared Bednar kind of in the pressure cooker, so to speak? I mean, he's basically saying that if his headline, Jared Bednar's contract is up next season. If the Avalanche want to extend him, cool, but only if the Avs, with this much talent, make it past the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And that would probably mean beating the Dallas Stars in the second round. Michael, Greg Penner had a lot to say yesterday, and we've all been wondering, whose decision was it to make Davis Webb the play caller? Was that actually Sean Payton out of the goodness of his heart, acknowledging maybe some of his shortcomings and decided to go with Davis Webb? Or did upper management sit him down and say, a play calling change is needed? Here's what Greg Penner had to say about that.
I think Sean always wants to do what's in the best interest of this team and the Broncos organization. He and I obviously talked about it, but this was entirely 100% his decision. And I think it's going to be, again, we've got a lot of confidence in Davis, and I think Sean's going to be very supportive of him.
And what are his thoughts? And we'll skip down a little bit, Mike. So he's saying, it was Sean's decision. That was Sean Payton's decision. We talked about it, but it was not our decision. It was Sean Payton coming up with this, kind of trying to let the football guys be football guys. But Greg Penner sounded very football-y in most of his clips that we pulled up for you here. Here's what he had to say about Davis Webb, and just not the play calling stuff, but why they wanted to keep him. And the fact that, hey, we knew he was looking at different jobs like the Raiders, and the Broncos needed to do something in order to keep him.
A place and an organization that other teams want to come hire your folks. So we put a priority on retaining a number of those, and Davis Webb was one of them. We're excited to have him in that role and have a lot of confidence in him.
Okay. So that speaks more to what we were talking about when the Raiders were interviewing him, and then he pulled his name out of the hat. And came back to Denver even before we had the news that he was going to be the play caller. They all knew what it was going to take to keep Davis Webb. And that's where I wonder just how deep those conversations were with Greg Penner and Sean Payton. If it was kind of like the office scene when David Wallace is telling Michael Scott, hey, if we don't give Jim a promotion and you guys become like 50-50 managers of this place, Jim is going to leave. And Michael's like, okay, fine, I don't want him to leave. So they agree to split management roles at the office 50-50. Was that what was going on with Sean Payton bringing back Davis Webb in a play-calling capacity? While we're on the pressure cooker segment, how long is that leash going to be for Davis Webb? That's where I'm really fascinated to see how this thing unfolds. Like, what happens if the offense takes some steps back in that first month? Does it go back to Sean without us even knowing it? Which we would probably know. But Sean said before that there's been times where I've had guys take over play calling duties and no one ever really knew. It would always go back to me. But I'm just curious about that aspect of it. If that really, because, listen, the positive side is like, hey, it's all good. Davis Webb turns out to be better, figures out, how to mix this personnel with the scheme and everything and that goes along with it. But there still is that. There's the chance that it could go south. Tougher schedule. And if your offense isn't taking that step forward, then I wonder how long that would actually last. A couple more here. Sounds like Bo Nix, Michael, is certainly on the mend, maybe even ahead of schedule. Here again is Broncos CEO Greg Penner on his franchise quarterback.
Really, really good. He's attacked his recovery in the same way that he attacks, preparing for games and just done a terrific job. He's ahead of schedule, no concerns at all for OTAs and go forward from there. Really, really pleased with his progress and support from Bo Lowry and everyone.
All right. He'll be good to go for OTAs. With Sean, at first, it was maybe 4 months and it was predisposed injury and all that. Greg Penner did a much better job talking about Bo's ankle than Sean Payton did. Michael, great job. Greg Penner sounds general manager like, doesn't he?
I think Greg Penner has less of a temper with the media.
Yeah, he's not in front of it all the time. That's why you always see like CEOs, even GMs, are much more relaxed in these conversations than head coaches are, because the head coach has got to do it all the freaking time.
Well, they probably hire assistants to, go over them and give them note cards. And like, this is, if someone asks you this question, this is how you react.
They have the right answer. Sean Payton's just going to go off the cuff. Sean had some things to say about free agency, Michael. Free agency frenzy and why the Broncos chose really not to full on participate in that. Here's Sean.
That time of this season has been marketed right in front of every one of your eyes. What's the next word that comes after free agency from the NFL Network, from NFL.com? What is it? Frenzy. So we want any. It's nothing. Frenzy is what you don't want. And frenzy implies it has to happen. Chaos. Ah! And it's all marketing. So my brother's 71 years old. And day two of free agency, the phone rings. Free agency frenzy. Right here. You're the frenzy guy. And if it's frenzy, that's not good. But that sells.
Can we clip the frenzy? Ah! Can we please clip that and just save it? When crazy things happen for the Broncos. Just, I want to clip that and have some fun with it. I want you to produce back there. I want you to do your job. Make it happen, Mike. One more. We're wondering about George Payton's contract extension and just how the Broncos feel about George going forward. Here's Greg Penner again, CEO, on their current general manager.
Yeah, and I've said the same thing. We want to have George here long term, and he's been a terrific partner for Sean and how they work together, and I'm sure we'll get that sorted out.
Pretty easy, right? Sounds pretty good. So everything pretty positive from everybody. Now, Sean talking about free agency frenzy, like that's why we didn't get into it, because everyone's like, oh, you got to go. This speaks a lot to what they think of that locker room, and I think the players in that locker room have got to feel some type of way about how they chose those guys over going after and participating in any portion of NFL free agent frenzy. They did make some trade. They made a monster blockbuster trade, but it was for draft picks. Still says all great things about even your wide receiver group, who George Payton came out yesterday and said, yeah, they ain't going anywhere. We're not trading those guys. I'll be shocked if they do. Sean Keeler, Keeling Me Softly, coming up next. Sean, of course, with the Denver Post. Is Jared Bednar in the pressure cooker, and why? Let's talk to Sean coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. We're off tomorrow because we've got the Rockies looking. Tomorrow will probably be looking for the sweep because I see no reason they won't win tonight. I mean, based on what we saw last night, this team is red hot. But we're off tomorrow. So we sidestepped a bit here. We have Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post, Keeling Me Softly, normally on Wednesday, but it's Tuesday. It's very confusing. Sean, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. Thank you for accommodating me in your pre-Rockies Tuesday.
Yes. You know what? Hey, what did you think about that Rockies win, man? I was like, save some runs for the rest of the season, fellas, okay?
Hey, my White Sox got their first win. I imagine it overshadowed the White Sox getting their first win in Miami against those sweeping the Rockies Marlins. So I think I bring that up because I think the Rocks and Sox are still pretty close to each other.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's just say that even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. And sometimes they find 14 of them.
I want them to find them, yes.
And they find them in Canada. So good blind squirrel.
I want them to find 30 wins. Now 29.
Oh, they'll find 30 wins.
Yeah.
If you want to have that talk, you're not going to have last year. Like, this is, short answer, this is Gattina's probably going to lose 100 games, but it's not going to lose 120. And that's a 20-game. A 19-game improvement is, what, 62 and 100? So I think that's in the cards, and it's not great, but it is technically progress.
Yeah, and I would imagine, if, even if they lose 100, but if they're 20 games better, you know, Warren Schaefer is safe, you know, for the following season.
Yeah,
right.
Whenever that starts. If you want us right, because we've talked about this. This season, for better or for worse, and I'm going to opening day as far as I know, and it's kind of chilly up here north of town, and it's going to be that way Friday as well. So we're getting prepared after a no winter and all summer for like February, March. It's a free hit for everybody, right? Like you're not. Just don't lose. Like, literally, their only remit is don't be any worse than the worst team in modern National League history. That's not hard, and that's good. But the bad side is the ceiling is still awfully low.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a year where you're going to throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks. You got all these new pieces in the front office. You're transitioning out of a very old kind of stodgy thing that we've all been over. We're going to see how much the new regime – they're already trying to put stuff into spring training, how they approach the pitching and the prep and what have you. And this is kind of it may not pay off in results, but the point of this season, it's a true rebuild in that the point of this, to use football and college football analogies again, this is something we love to do. This is a true old school rebuild and a true old school college football rebuild in that the best thing about this year is if it leads to something better in 2028 and 2029, because you've got no shot of doing anything now and probably not next year. You've got a lockout coming after in and around Christmas. You don't know when the next season is going to start, but the next season is going to have a new CBA when it does start, a new economic framework for the game, where then the Rockies train starts moving forward. It or needs to start moving forward at some level, and they need to see what they really got. But this feels like it's going to be a whole year of evaluation, and maybe it's fun. But I, you know, if wins come as a part of that, great. But I think it's kind of a sidelight, and that's not going to be the main thing.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Just kind of looking for progress at this point. Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. I think you're up to something, Sean. I think you're trying to spark some magic for the Colorado Avalanche, because the last time we had the whole Jared Bednar needs to get out of the second round conversation, they want a Stanley Cup. I think you're just trying to put that magic out there so the Avs go ahead and do it again.
Are you referring to the column in this morning's Denver Post?
I sure am. I loved it, by the way,
because
I'm all about the pressure, Sean. I love it. And you're kind of putting it on Jared Bednar. And today's Denver Post, should Avalanche extend Jared Bednar? Only if he gets past second round of Stanley Cup playoffs.
And I don't think that's an unfair bar.
I don't think so.
And I'll give a hockey assist to, I don't know him well, but I know him, Pierre LeBrun, with The Athletic and TSN. And he's kind of the Shams. He's the Shams. He's the Shams of Canada hockey to some degree. And he put it out there in one of his notes packages. But, you know, as long as Jared gets past the first round, because he's up in 27, and we've had this talk about coaches in the lame duck years, I don't think KSC wants to put him in a lame duck. He certainly doesn't want to be in a lame duck year. And I point out in the column, ask Gene Orvell how lame duck years go. They're not good.
Not good. Not good.
As we know in hindsight, and as you and I have heard from many people since, that was a lot worse behind the scenes than it was out in public at CSU about a year ago to last summer. So, and a lot more uncomfortable than it was out in public. So they don't want KSC, to their credit, and with them and money and coaches, you can't give them a lot of credit historically, at least as far as spending go. They have to make a decision pretty soon. It's not quite like the Broncos stadium deal, but it is in that you've got to get this laid out ahead of time. And Pierre put in a note, well, if he gets past the first round, get ready. They're going to throw an extension at him. And I was having this discussion with somebody else on Sunday when this started leaking out, and I thought, is that it? Is that all you have to do? And they should, if it's Winnipeg or whomever, as a one seed, and knock on wood, they should get out of that first round. And then it's just going to get precipitously tougher, but you do have the best team. I could see the argument, because there is an argument, and I text some Avs fans I know, because I subscribe to Crowdsource, and they're like, and literally, I think I reached out to two or three of them yesterday afternoon before I wrote that, and they went, yeah, I'm good with that. I said, really? And they said, yeah, we're in a great place. And and I don't think we're going to hire somebody that's going to do necessarily better. And I went, okay, we'll see if you think that after round two, because that's where Jared's had problems. So fundamentally, I asked the question, depending on what happens in the postseason, are the Avs satisfied to sort of be to the NHL now what the Braves were in the 90s? And that's not a bad thing, but it in a lot of ranks.
Yeah, and that's what's tough. You know, I was thinking about this reading your piece, Sean, and I was like, man, I can't even imagine the Avalanche with this group, you know, without Jared Bednar. I can't imagine Gabriel Landeskog, Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar without Jared Bednar. Couldn't imagine Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray without Michael Malone either, and somehow we get used to it.
We do, but here's the difference, and this column didn't get into that, and I wish I had. And I think we've talked about this. The Cronkies look at basketball, soccer, and football a lot different than they do hockey, right? That's a fundamental difference. In fact, they are basketball people through and through first. Josh played. Like, this is a real thing. I think, and this is meant as a compliment, I think the Cronkies look at the Avs the way a lot of athletic directors, back to major college sports, a lot of athletic directors at big schools look at their women's hoops and women's programs. I don't know this as well as they do. I have a senior women's administrator who makes these decisions. As long as it's in good shape, and we're probably not making a lot of money, but if we've got winning culture and good kids and good coaches, I'm going to leave that alone. I think the Cronkies look at the Avs and say, whatever Joe wants. But Joe is their senior women's administrator. That's a terrible analogy.
No, it makes sense, though.
One,
yeah.
But I think maybe you can say to their credit, the Cronkies know what they don't know. Joe Sakic will know more about hockey than anybody on the planet. And so they look at that and say, all right, you figure it out. And I think Joe, to get to the root of this, I think Joe definitely likes Jared, and I think Jared's resume justifies that. And it's probably as simple as that. I don't think Stan and Josh put a lot of thought into the Avs compared to what they do with the Rams, Arsenal, and the Nuggets, if that makes sense.
No,
I don't think it's even close.
No, it does make a lot of sense, because we've kind of heard that off and on, that the Cronkies obviously lean in a little bit more, especially Josh leans a little bit more on the basketball side, because he maybe knows a little bit more on the basketball side, and then the hockey side is kind of the blind spot, but kind of, you know, whatever, kind of like what you're saying, it makes sense.
Yeah, we got Joe. Joe knows that. He's our senior women's administrator. He'll deal with that.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. Let me ask you this, Sean. You know, I've always been saying this, like, if the Nuggets get away at the end of all of this, and Joker retires and literally rides off into the sunset, and they just get one title out of that, bunch of MVPs, but one title out of that, it's going to be a pretty sad situation, I think, considered a disappointment. But what if it's the same for the Avalanche, and they get one cup out of this? Who is it more disappointing for? Which franchise would that be more disappointing for, the Avalanche or the Denver Nuggets? I would say maybe the Avs, because you don't just have Nathan MacKinnon, you got Cale Makar. There's two guys almost interchangeable when you're having conversations about top five in the league.
Yeah, I had to give it a quick 2-second pause in your question, but then when you bring up the personnel, and you bring up the personnel and you bring up the franchise history, I think it's the Avs.
Yeah.
I think with the short answer with Jokic, I think there'll be disappointment. And then, you know, there'll be sadness because we'll never see him again. But we'll have to.
Never.
I mean, it'll be unlikely. You'll have to figure out. But it's going to be such a rare thing. But then there'll be joy that, well, he broke all these glass ceilings. And that will be, he is their Joe Sakic, among other things. Compliments to Joe. He set that bar that everyone will have to chase going forward, is him and Murray. I think it's more disappointing for the Avs. You've got a championship history, first off. You've got an excellent history, second off. And you have more Hall of Famers on your roster per capita than the Nuggets do, right? You just did.
Yeah.
And you brought up the people. We start MacKinnon Makar. Nico's going to be there too. So he's going to be a big chunk of that window, and then he helped shut it down last year, as we saw. So you've got three, maybe more, Hall of Famers that were core pieces of that run who are going to have their jerseys retired. I think maybe even a simpler way to say, well, how many of those jerseys are going to get retired? No, that's probably a bad argument. We'll just say Hall of Famers, because I think all of that starting five of those Nuggets might be in the bleachers at some point pretty soon from that 23 title team. I think they'll probably all be up there, including MPJ. And Aaron Gordon twice. by the way, let me stay on record. I'm the advocate for Aaron Gordon and respect to his family, his brothers. But 50 and 30, when he goes up, I want to see 50 and 32. Put them up. Put them both up there at the same time. I think it's a nod of disappointment if we're there at 1-1 of each 10 years from now. It's probably more disappointing on the Avs side. Because I think with the Nuggets, it's all still a little – it's disappointing and it's sexier and has more ESPN attention, but also it has never been done. So the fact that they've never been done has already stamped their legend for kind of all time here.
That's a great point. The fact that, you know, the Avs have a better history of that, it leads you to think that there could be more of that coming down the road. For the Nuggets, it's like, when are we going to strike gold again like they did with Joker? It's, I mean, even when they got Carmelo Anthony – nothing compared to what we've been seeing individually and honestly team wise, nothing even close to what we're seeing with Joker.
Yeah, the Joker thing, and Carmelo is a great point to bring up because again, living Hall of Famer, and another great 15, and the, you know, then all the debates about how that ended, retiring his jersey or not, or at least honoring his jersey, and how that divorce went. It was bad. It was an ugly divorce. Yeah, are you ever going to see – I don't think – you never say never. You're a young, fit, fast, young host.
Very fast, Sean. Very fast, yeah.
Quick feet. And I'm just a fat hooligan off in the corner somewhere, pushing into midlife and suffering through his ninth midlife crisis. And I don't think – I will say in my lifetime, as a, let's say, closer to the 50 side of the ledger, I don't think in my lifetime I will see whether I'm in Denver or not – anything like Nikola Jokic in this town for that confluence, because, and I'll tell you what, and not just him as a, never mind him as a talent and as the gifts that he brought to the court, and that'll bring up all of them. We should be sadder if we don't get more titles from this. He is so unique on so many levels, but where he is the most unique in this market is that he does not want to leave it, or at least has not expressed that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Somebody that good with that much juice and that much gravitas, they aren't playing for the Nuggets. They are pulling a Melo. More people are going to pull a Melo from here because of just reasons, just the way the NBA is so coastal and is so skewed to bigger markets and where the networks want their stars to play. I'm not sure, again, in my lifetime, we'll see anything like Joker with that here. So I think you do definitely, while I say it's more disappointing for the Avs, I think Joker is the more unique, singular basketball experience in this town, because I don't know that you'll see that again anytime soon.
Yeah, because if we want to sit here and you can make a lot of great cases for when we're talking Mount Rushmores, and the Nuggets have, you know, a handful of those guys. It just seems like when you have those conversations, the more obvious names that pop up are Avalanche players, more so than Nuggets players. Because we're talking about greatness compared.
Well, for the city, I'm just going to go back to what I said earlier, and Jokic is on that monument now. I don't think Nate and Kale are there. Does that make sense? Mm. Like, if there's a second monument, if Nate and Kale win more titles than Joe Sakic did, then you have to have an argument there. But what Joker is doing puts him rung down, but he puts him on that statue with Super Joe, and it puts him on that statue with John Elway, and I should say sculpture. It puts him on that sculpture with them, and you get arguments about Manning, and with the Rockies, it's a little hard because their ceilings have been so low. And you clearly have two candidates, but, you know, if you're forced to put one for every sport there, I guess you put Helton, probably. Being on that World Series team and the peak of what you had. Joker is there, and I don't know that McKinnon and McCarr are there right now. But they're young enough, and certainly Kale is, health permitting, knock on wood, that he might. But I think this is a town where that's measured by championships, and it's measured by impact, as well it should be. And every one of those guys, Joker might have the fewest of that, but he was the first to do that here for that franchise, and that's going to hold a lot of weight, the way that it did with Sakic. That's why I make that parallel, that he was kind of the first one of what they hope will be more, but we'll see.
Yeah, no question. Great stuff from you as always, Sean. I love this. I love this this kind of conversation too, because that's what you expect when you have these types of players that we're talking about. You're expecting hardware. You're expecting championships, and that's why it is a worthwhile conversation again to be having about Jared Bednar.
No, it's great. It's just a great, and with where the Broncos are too, having coming into my eighth year in this market, it's a. you know, knock on wood, to get to a decade, it's a golden time. So even if you don't get the job done, you're still, the windows for three of the big four teams in this market are still wide open. And you want to run me out the door on a two, and I'm going to run out the door. But I wouldn't be shocked if those three and throwing the Broncos in there, dang it, in the next 3 years we're going to get a parade. And that sounds conservative. Oh, that's so bold. But I think we could be disappointed if those three we don't get at least one parade, because that's how good they are.
Yeah.
So enjoy it. I mean, it'll be frustrating if you don't get there, but dang it, you are there. And then spend your summers resting during Rocky season to gear up for the rest of the three good teams in the market, and we'll see what they look like after 2028, 2029. But I don't know. You're more of a native son. I have to go look and see. I should do that today. If this is the best that those big three have been at the same time, I want to say there was a November. Last November was the best record they all had at the same time, as young as those winter seasons were. But what, now we're getting to the tail end of it and all the ups and downs that the Avs and Nuggets have had with their regular season. I'd imagine it's a pretty nice time, and so enjoy it. You know, it's going to be frustrating and stressful, but it's really a great time to be a Denver sports fan. It really is.
Yeah, no question about it. Sean, always great from you, man. Great hearing from you, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday, my friend.
Okay, sounds good. Let me know.
All right, man. Bye. Sean Keeler, Denver Post, 40 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out real quickly here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
I think it is a fascinating concept, thinking about how these two teams, owned by the Kroenkes, have pretty much been lockstep with each other when we started to see the consistent success, when you got the Nathan McKinnons and Nikola Jokic's and Jamal Murray's and Cale Makar's. It's been kind of crazy, hasn't it been? Like, how close they've both been. I mean, the Avs win a title in 2022. The Nuggets win it the next year. They're both in the playoffs consistently. And now you wonder, with Sean's article, it's like, are they really going to be that lockstep with each other? So the Avs win a title. The Nuggets win a title the following year. The Nuggets fire a head coach. The Avs don't renew their contract with their current coach. I mean, Mike, they either got to renew him or they decide to move on. You don't want to go into the lame duck coach thing with Jared Bednar, I don't think. I honestly don't have a good handle on this one, what they would do. Now, if they somehow get bounced in the first round, those conversations are really going to heat up. But I guess Bednar's got to find a way to solve the Dallas Stars. That's going to be his Achilles heel in all of this, because he survived a lot of pressure the year that they won the Stanley Cup. And he handled it so well with how he handled his goalie situation. It was so admirable, and they found a way to get it done, and it was so exciting. But there's pressure on him to do that again, because you're not just talking about Nathan McKinnon and Cale Makar. You also have a leader in Gabriel Landeskog, who hasn't been obviously with this team over the last few years, but back and ups and downs with health this year. But he is second to none when it comes to leadership qualities. And again, I just think the Avalanche have assembled a better roster over the years, a better roster, not necessarily a better superstar, but a better roster around their stars. And the Nuggets, and we're going to see what's going to happen this year, but that's kind of been the big question. Okay, Aaron Gordon's good, Jamal Murray's good. Are they the Cale Makar to Nathan McKinnon? Or the, like we're talking about Moose, we're talking about Val Nichushkin. Do you have those guys that are close? And it's very rare what the Avs have in having both McKinnon and Makar, because those two guys, for the last several years now, you can easily say are top five in the NHL. Maybe even 1-2 or 2-3, how you're looking at this. The Nuggets, of course, have never had anything close to that outside of Joker. So I do think there's probably a little more disappointment factor kicking in if when it's all said and done for McKinnon and you only got one title to show for it. It's probably more of a disappointment for the Avs than you would say the Nuggets, but barely. Both very disappointing if it's just two titles between the two franchises. 48 minutes after the hour. What did we learn on today's show, Michael? That's coming up next. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
You're every single game. We have the madness on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFK.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What did we learn on this last day of March, Michael? Your favorite day of the year's coming up, buddy. April Fool's Day. You excited?
Why is that my favorite day of the year?
I figured it'd be something you'd celebrate.
Well, I don't know if I want to prank anybody.
I know, but some of the things you do and say, and just kind of who you are, kind of reminds me of what that day describes. You know what I mean?
People named April?
The second one. The second word in there. Maybe. I don't know. Just the thought. But what did you learn today, Mike?
I learned that you're abusive.
No.
That you like to call me a fool.
Oh, that's not what it's called? I wasn't going there.
I learned that
14 runs. You learned that they're capable of it.
Yes, I did. I did learn that they were capable of stuff like that in Game 4. I learned that they're capable of being 1-3. I learned that that maybe Coach Payton should allow the Penners to talk instead of him.
Yeah, he's very good, Greg Penner.
He was the one who had confidence in Davis.
The what?
He was the one who had confidence in Davis. Webb.
Well, they both did, it sounds like. And they both needed to do kind of what was necessary to retain him. I almost picture Greg Penner like, hey, man, if you don't want him back, you don't want him back. That's your call. But if not, if you don't want him to call plays, he's probably going to be gone. If not this year, then next year. So something to think about. I like the more Greg Penner talks, the more I like him. All right, that'll do it for us, Michael. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.